حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل نعم المولى ونعم النصير أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين أما بعد فقد قال الله الحكيم في كتابه المتين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ومن آياته أن خلق لكم من أنفسكم أزواجا لتسكنوا إليها وجعل بينهما مودة ورحمة. On this beautiful and wonderful occasion of a bright young man and a gracious sister joining together in this matrimony of nikah and marriage, just a few words that we can learn from the wisdom that Allah has given us in his ayat, and so that we can understand, especially those who are involved here, of the young man here and the bride to be, that they can get some words from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Ahlul Bayt so that they can start their new life together. Allah, when he introduces marriage, says it in the Quran in this way. He says, and from amongst his signs, min ayati, from amongst his signs is that he has created amongst you mates. In the list of things where marriage could be placed, Allah chose to place it from amongst his signs. That whenever you want to remember the signs of Allah, one of the signs is marriage. One of the ways of knowing Allah is marriage. And see, the status that Allah gave to this institution, that this institution is such that whenever you will come close to it or remember it or ponder and reflect on it, you will remember Allah. And when he speaks of this, he says, I have made this institution, and gives a wisdom and reason behind it and says, لِتَسْكِنُوا إِلَيْهَا, so that you may find comfort in them. Now, with one another. Zawj is not in the meaning of a wife or a husband. You see, Zawj is for both, is used for both, wife and husband together, a spouse. That would be the right word. And when you are together, Allah says that what is achieved by this union is comfort. It brings upon harmony and peace to a person. Now obviously, as I had mentioned before many times, and everyone who's married here can testify to this, that Maulana, we heard that many times, but when we do get married, we see the opposite. Instead of comfort, we see that all our rights and freedoms are taken away. Right? And so, how is it that Allah is saying that when we get married, we are going to be comfortable? How can we be comfortable when we do get married, all we find is restrictions, we find trouble, we find hardships? Well, the idea, my friends, the question is, and the issue is that, peace and harmony is only gained, right? It will come, but it's not automatic. Once you get a wife, people think this is it. Alhamdulillah, now half my iman is good, and now I can be happy. Yes, Allah protects half the iman, right? He sent, but he didn't say he's going to protect your full iman. He said, half the iman, I will help you when you get married. The other half is going to be achieved by working and going through the difficulties of establishing your marriage. You need to achieve that end. You need to come to that end. It's not easy. You see, Allah made this matrimony and this being together of husband and wife difficult for one another so that they can get that peace after they go through the hardships. There's nothing in life and nature that you gain without hardships and difficulties. Allah made marriage so that you can go through difficulties and achieve that happiness. That's what the idea is. How do we get there? How do we get there? And then Allah, He gave two things for us to take there. He says, وَجَعَلَ بَعِنُهُمَا مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. I gave you two things, مَوَدَّةً and I gave you رَحْمَةً. Now, mawaddat means love, other than muhabbat. Muhabbat is the word we use a lot. But mawaddat we use, for example, when it comes to Ahlul Bayt. Remember that. We use mawaddat. Allah used the word mawaddat. And the same word He uses in the love, in describing the love between husband and wife. If you see that, same word He uses to describe the love between husband and wife. Now, what does that mean? You see, muhabbat is obviously when you love someone and you care for someone, right? But sometimes that love is in the heart, it never comes out. You love someone. But mawaddat is when there is love with the necessity of expression. There's a necessity, there is a need, there is a condition to express it. So whenever mawaddat is spoken about, it is love that needs to be expressed, to be told. So when we love Ahlul Bayt, we cannot keep it in our hearts. We have to say that we love Ahlul Bayt and express it to the world. The same way between a husband and wife, Allah uses this word and says that you need to have mawaddat between yourself. Meaning if you love your wife or if the wife loves the husband, don't keep it in the heart, but you need to express it to one another. The need of expression is there. That is mawaddat. Then you see that the second thing Allah says is rahmat, compassion. Now what is compassion? Let's understand what the opposite of that is. In the Quran, Allah mentions this word rahmat with a word opposite it. He says Muhammadun Rasulullah. وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُمْ أَشِدَّاءُ عَلَى الْكُفَّارِ وَالرُّحَمَاءُ بَيْنَهُمْ. You see, Allah uses the word rahmat here. When does He use it? He says that those who are with the Prophet, they are ashadda. Shadid means hard. Against the disbelievers, warrohoma, and they are merciful and compassionate amongst themselves. You see, when you look at the word shadid, it means that you plant your foot down on your ideology and do not move from there. Whatever you believe in, you stick to that. No matter storms, wind, rain, shine, snow, no matter what comes, you do not move from where you stand in your ideology. That's the meaning of shadid. When you want to be shadid, you want to say, this is what I believe in. La ilaha illallah. That's it. I stand here. No movement. This is when you deal with kuffar. Now, obviously, when you deal with mu'mineen, Allah says, no. Now you are rahim amongst each other. Because that side also believes in Allah. This side believes in Allah. That side believes in the Prophet. This side believes in the Prophet. That side believes in the Imam. This side believes in Imam. That side follows Allah's message. You also follow Allah's message. And in that case, do not stick to something so hard that it's going to cause friction between you. Do not be adamant, stubborn about something that's going to cause division amongst you. The same way you see Allah says that a husband and wife should deal with each other with rahmat. Do not make such a stand in between yourself that it will cause a division. Give way to one another so that they can come close to one another. This is the meaning of rahmah. You see? So now when we, just this ayat, I wanted to explain it so that all of us get the blessing of listening to this ayah. Now the issue is, how do we achieve this institution, my friends? What are the things that are necessary to build a marriage? We see complaints coming all the time nowadays of marriages being broken and unsuccessful. You see, my friends, if marriage is an institution, just understand it this way. If marriage is an institution, then any institution in the world, no matter if it's small, no matter if it's big, its success or failures depends on the people who are involved in it. It could be a country, it could be a business. It could be a masjid, it could be a community, it could be a sports team. If you put untalented players in a sports team and ask them to win, it's not going to happen. Right? Any team that wants to win needs to spend some money to hire talent. You need to build that talent, raise it, or hire it. Either way, you have to get someone who's good to run the show. The referee can make the best, the coach can make the best game plan. But if the players are not there to execute it, it's never going to come into fruition. Just like that in a business. If you want to hire a losing team, then that business will never be successful. That's why, for example, when you want to hire someone, you look for a winning attitude. You look for someone who's a winner, someone who has talent, someone who can make this work and make it go forward and enhance the mission. The same thing comes to a marriage. If you want the marriage to work, if you put individuals into a marriage that are not made or built or talented, then you see that marriage is not going to be successful. My friends, the game of life is where parents are the ones who build the talented individuals who are going to make a successful marriage work. Marriage, its success is going to start from the training of the child. The way you train the child and build this child up, that's the way that child is going to now make what it's given work and succeed. This is the necessary thing that's important. We have to build individuals who will make a successful marriage. That's why the emphasis of Islam when it comes to marriage is to raise your children such that they become people who are ready for marriage. I gave this example, so just for the new guests, they will understand this example. You know, we are here in a marriage. One of the more important things in marriage for all the guests who come here is the walima. You know? And obviously, you know, if the marriage is good or not, it all depends on the walima. Right? How good it tasted, right? So now, obviously, let's say, you know, you're going to get married and you have a friend who's a mechanic and he says, you know what? I want to make the food for your marriage. I say, well, did you ever cook before? He says, no, but I saw my wife cooking once. I'll make it because I love the child. I'll make his walima. Now tell me, as the wali of the groom, would you say, okay, you know what? He loves him so much, let him make it. What are you talking about? If you haven't touched a spoon or a spatula in your life, how are you going to make food? You wouldn't hire him, right? You wouldn't hire him to do that. You would hire someone who is good, who is talented, who is known for being good. He is experienced, so you hire someone like that in order to do it. Or, for example, you know, you have, let's say, you know, there's sometimes there's a limousine waiting outside. You hire someone to drive it. Now, the younger brother of the groom, he's not even like 15 years old. He says, you know what, I'm going to drive my brother and his would-be wife to wherever their honeymoon is. He says, son, you have no license. He says, well, it doesn't matter because I love him, I'm going to drive him. Listen, we want to have a life, right? We want to grow up and have children, this and that. So it's best you don't drive. You wouldn't give him, right? Because he has no license. He's not qualified for that. He's not trained for that. So you hire someone who's trained, who's qualified. My friends, small responsibilities like food and driving a car, we require someone who is qualified, someone who's trained. How is it that we do not train our children for such a big responsibility of marriage and say, now take this and drive this marriage and see if it works? See, my friends, you need that training. Everyone needs to be trained. We need to, as parents, look at our children and say, listen, how am I going to make this son or this daughter become such that they can have a successful marriage? Train him in that way so that you become better. That's why Islam emphasizes training. Training your children to become that. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. You know, hadith that you all heard many times before, I'm just going to repeat it for you in one angle, right? I'll make it on one angle so that you understand it. Hadith that you heard, that the way to train a child, they say that is divided into three stages. Not from one masoom, it came from many masoom, right? In order to train a child, you have to divide him into three stages. There's that age of 0 to 7, that age from 7 to 14, that age from 14 to 21. You heard that hadith. Now just understand it a little bit. You know, from 0 to 7, it says that you treat him like a prince. You treat him like a prince. How would you treat a prince? All right? Whenever you want to talk to a prince, you will always be pleased and you will request him to do things. You will not order him to do things. You will not expect him to just listen to your commands. You will say that, please, would you do this? Understand this thing, right? And why is that? You see, when a child is growing up at that age, that's where his character is being built. His character is being built. And when his character is being built, it is important that you let him know that he is being respected, being honored, and being raised in that way. You see, we expect our children to be, because of the fact that we are used to it in Western life especially. Right? You know, because everything that we have in our house works with a remote. You know, the TV works with a remote on, off. You know, video on, off. Everything is now working with remotes. We have like 6, 7 remotes on our couch, you know. Turn this on, turn this on. We think that, you know, that the children should also have a remote that we need to just turn them off, turn them on. When we ask them to sit, they should sit. When we ask them to stand, they should stand. And we think that they can be run by a remote. Listen, they're not electronic instruments. They are human beings. You can't treat them like that. Why? Because this is how a person is built. He's built through that. You can't just make him do things. You have to let him grow as a human grows. Treat him like a human so that he will build his self-confidence. He will build that self-confidence in him and know that he is one that who will make the decisions in the future, that his personality can grow. This is the way, my friends, that we need to build those people who will have successful marriages. We want to see the rate of divorce fall in our community, then this is how it's going to happen. Raise them in a way that they grow up to know how to make decisions. Then from this is 7 to 14, you treat him like a wazir, an abdun wazir. That a minister who's working for you, that you make him work. But you also listen to him. See his complaints. See, not an abd as a slave. You see, a lot of time is wrongly translated as a slave. A slave has nothing to say or nothing to complain to the master. But abdun wazir is someone who is a servant, but he's a minister that who, when he has a complaint, he can say it. He can talk. Right? Don't treat your child as that he cannot even say anything he wants, no matter what's in his heart. No, that needs to be done. And then from that age onwards, a mushir, an advisor, so that he grows up and starts to advise us and learn how to live his life. When we all start to bring up our children in that way, then you will see marriages will become stronger and our society will become greater. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He gives us all the tawfiq to be on the right path. Give us the wisdom to understand His guidance. Oh Allah, we ask You that this bride and groom that are going to be united in this holy matrimony, give them blessings and prosperity. And make them a household that Ahlul Bayt can be proud of. And make through them children who are going to serve Allah, You and Ahlul Bayt. and give the blessings of this marriage to all those who are attending here. And have mercy on those who have died from amongst these families. وآخر الدعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين. صلوات على محمد.